water business for many, many years before we started EcoPools. I started in about 1983 working on fish farms, and I've been in aquaculture for a long, long time. I got my PhD in bioengineering in 2003, and in about 2006 I started EcoPools with a partner of mine in the business too. And that was just a way that I could apply my bioengineering qualification and all those years of aquaculture experience into something which actually meant a tangible difference immediately. You know, aquaculture is a bit of a factory farming. You know, there's no difference between factory farming chickens and factory farming fish. And my heart wasn't really in it for those years. And this was an opportunity to really make a tangible difference to water situation and to people, you know, how they perceive clean rather than sterile. And it's an important distinction to make. So we started about 10 years ago with a pool that somebody was struggling with. She hated the chlorine. It was leaking. She didn't want to do anything with it. She wanted to fill it up with sand. And because I'd been designing filtration systems for commercial aquaculture hatcheries mostly, which demanded a very high water quality, it seemed like a logical thing to apply the same principles to a swimming pool as we were applying to large marine and freshwater hatchery situations. And it worked okay, you know, it worked well. If I look back through the mist of time all those years ago, we're doing things very differently now to when we started, but it worked well enough, you know. And she was happy with it, and her next door neighbor took one look and said, "Oh my God, this is wonderful." And so it kind of grew organically from there.
Yeah, certainly very interesting. And the very last question I'm going to ask is if you can do what you described now about your first project, if you can do that with our pool, but I'll get to that in a moment. That the word that you were using just now, did you say aquaculture? In other words, water...
Aquaculture is farming aquatic organisms.
I understand.
So, yeah, whether it's fish or oysters or whatever.
Right. Now, what I'm interested in is how is an eco pool different to conventional pools? And you were talking now about leaking. Is that something that the eco pool also addresses, or is that just something that you also do? If you can just give us a little bit of background and comparing the two.
Okay, well, that's a good question. I think I'll answer that question first, and then I'll go back to what the difference is. You know, the wonderful thing about an eco pool is that it's a living entity. It's not a dead, sterile body of water that if a frog falls in, it dies, you know. It's a living body of water that accepts the frog and will make more frogs. So the difference is essentially that pools are sterile, and eco pools are not, you know. They're alive. They're full of life. You're not trying to kill everything. So really the difference is in the whole approach. I always explain it in this way, and I explain it from a water chemistry perspective, because that's really the route that we've gone at EcoPools, is to really get to the root, the nub of the water chemistry, because it's all about getting that organic chemistry right. So, you know, water is the universal solvent. It's two hydrogen atoms and an oxygen atom that make the water molecule. And it's a highly polar molecule. In other words, it's got a highly negative and a highly positive pole to it. And when anything drops in the water, it rips whatever other molecule it is into pieces. And that's why it becomes a universal solvent. It just dissolves everything. And at the same time, when all those hydrogen molecules line up on the surface of the water, everything is attracted to it. So it attracts dust and pollen and leaves, and even a plastic bag floating above water will be drawn down onto the surface through hydrostatic forces, and it will dissolve. And so the nutrient content of water continuously increases. So a normal swimming pool will have a very high nutrient content because the water is continuously dissolving everything around. Then the algae loves to grow in high nutrient environments. Sunlight, water, and nutrients is what algae and all plants actually need to grow. And so in a conventional pool, what you do is you poison the algae that is trying to grow, and it will go away for a while, and you have to poison it again, and you have to poison it again. And as the years go by, your nutrients keep on climbing. But so it becomes harder and harder to balance the water chemistry. So what we do, as opposed to that constant killing, is we say, okay, life wants to grow in water. Why don't we choose what life we want to grow in it? And so we choose the right microbial environment, we choose the right levels for plants to grow in, and we create an environment where plants are happily growing that outcompete the algae because the plants are sucking up all the nutrients and there's nothing left for the algae.
Sorry to interrupt, what you're saying is, where in the other way, in a conventional pool, we want to remove the algae, whereas here, we're saying let's use it productively in feeding what we want to feed.
Not really.
Oh, okay.
What we're doing is we're setting up a competition. You know, nature is highly competitive.
Okay.
Things compete with each other all the time. So what we're doing is we're tipping the scales. We're saying, okay, we're going to plant plants that are more efficient at using the nutrients than the algae is, and therefore the algae doesn't stand a chance.
Got you. Okay. Yeah. So that brings me to the next question.
I didn't answer your first question about the leaking.
Oh, yes, please.
Okay, so if you convert a pool that has always been a chemical pool, what chemicals do is that they make everything brittle. They're constantly eating away at the sides of the pool. They're constantly eating away at the pipes and the fittings, etc. As soon as you get rid of that highly corrosive chemical environment,
yes,
the water becomes very soft and nurturing. So the process of getting towards the leak stops. In addition to that, if there is a very fine crack in the concrete, let's say, what happens is that that little animals, bacteria and fungi and things like that, start to grow in that little crack, and pools can actually self-heal. They can actually start to heal themselves once they become natural as well.
Okay, so water, even to what a pool consists of, will heal that material.
The cracks, the damage that has been done by the chemicals, will be undone by the natural life that wants to grow where there's a natural flow.
And even to the extent of repairing the crack, or am I not understanding?
Yes, absolutely. To the extent of repairing the crack. I mean, if the crack is small enough.
Yes, of course.
Where it's a big crack, you have to make it narrower. But often, you know, a leak in a pool is not a big crack.
I understand.
It's a fine airline seat.
Just say that again. An airline?
A hairline seep.
I understand.
Water seeping through, yeah.
Yes, I understand.
Yes.
A hairline seep, got you. Now, it sounds as if this is almost magic, but it makes sense in terms of that it's nature doing its job, fixing things.
Yes, absolutely. You know, I think it's a big lesson that humans need to learn, and that we are slowly learning, is that we need to get out of the way.
Yes.
We need to stop trying to fight nature and observe it very carefully.
Understood.
See how it works and work with it, and that's exactly the principles that I've used.
Very interesting. Now, in terms of maintenance, is an eco pool maintenance wise as much work as a conventional pool, or less, or more, or the same, or less?
It is a very different maintenance activity. So, whereas a chemical pool is about balancing the chemicals, you know, having the pH exactly correct and
yes.
you know, bombing the water every once in a while.
Yeah.
What a natural pool, an eco pool becomes is a gardening exercise. So you have to cut the plants back, you have to vacuum the bottom from time to time, but you don't need a creepy crawly going all the time. So it becomes less in its intensity and more in its pleasure, you know. But if you don't like cutting plants, you know, then it is a pain, you know, because you've got to keep on cutting those plants back because they start to take over a little bit, you know. The plants can get really big and they can kind of compete with each other. So you want to keep it well trimmed and neat. And you have to empty leaf baskets, you know, because you like to keep the surface clean with a skimmer.
Yes.
But basically, I would say on the balance, it is a lot less maintenance, especially once the pool has settled in, you know, there's a settling in period.
Yeah, and my wife being an avid gardener, she would enjoy this.
Oh man, I love the opportunity that I can get when I can spend time at my pool at home. I love it.
Yes.
That's my wonderful.
Okay, Jerome, what I'm not clear on is where are these plants? Are they in the pool itself? How do I swim in the pool then?
Okay, so the pool is always divided into different sections. One section has the plants in it, and the other section is open water.
Okay.
So the pool is divided either with a wall within a pool. You know, so for instance, when we do conversions,
yeah.
we sometimes build a wall, you know, through the middle of the pool or around the edges of the pool, so that the plants are in one section, and there's always an open swimming section that has got no plants.
Understood. And the comparison between the part where you have plants and where the clear water is, what sort of a relationship do you need there?
In terms of space.
Size, yeah.
Well, it all depends on the technology that we employ. So over the years, we have developed a variety of different technologies, some more intensive than others. And by intensifying it, I mean that we put in more specialized technology in the form of different mineral gravels to filter the water through, which improves the way it works. Different ways of pumping, you know, there's just different things that we've evolved over time. So it ranges from about 30% of the total surface being planted to about 50% of the total surface being planted.
I understand. Right, I just want to sneak in a question on our pool at home.
Yeah.
It's a rock pool and it takes up all the space, but it at a terrace just a little bit higher, there is the space relationship that you mean that you are mentioning to now, referring to now. Can these two different parts of the pool be at different levels?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, nice.
So you can put the plants in a higher terrace and let the water flow back into the pool.
Okay.
Or you can have a terrace and you can have the water flowing from the pool down into the eco zone. We call it the zone.
Okay. Okay, so and can we use the existing pool pump, or do you, as part of what you do, let's call it a conversion, do you then also bring in different types of pumps?
Yes, we definitely bring in a different type of pump because you know, your conventional, we have to run the pumps 24 hours a day.
Understood, yeah.
Because you've got to keep everything alive.
Yes.
So if you did that with your conventional pool pump, it would cost a fortune in electricity.
Correct.
So we changed that pump, and we're generally using about 95 watts, you know, as opposed to your normal pool pump, which is about 1,000 watts.
Okay.
So we're reducing electricity consumption dramatically by bringing in our submersible pumps, even if they are running for longer. It's been about a 60-70% saving in electricity overall.
Oh, that's excellent. I suppose if I take it a step further, I can say, why don't we run that pump with a solar panel?
Yes, you can, absolutely. We have done a couple of those, but you know, the investment in alternating current, indirect current is high, you know. You've got to buy the panel, the pumps are much more expensive. With current electricity prices, it only really makes sense where there isn't an electricity.
Okay, so what you're saying is from a photovoltaic panel to an inverter to your pump is just making it too expensive.
It seems to be at the moment, you know.
Okay.
There are a couple of clients who really want to be off the grid, and for them we have provided that whole setup.
Okay.
But for the average client, you know, when we're only running a 95 watt, if you look at the cost, it's very low. The time horizon doesn't make sense.
I understand 100%. Thank you so far. Now, the other interesting question, or I think it's interesting, what about the mosquitoes in an eco pool? Are they going to be part of the pool?
No. You know, mosquitoes are very vulnerable because they're one of the few insects that do not have gills in the water. So they depend on hanging upside down from the meniscus and breathing through a little tube.
Yeah.
That's why they choose very protected environments. You know, an ideal environment for mosquitoes, like inside a tin can or a tire or in the bottom of your gutter, you know, somewhere where there's very little space for anything else. Preferably an environment where there's no oxygen in the water. But in an eco pool, you know, we develop an entire ecosystem in there. And so there are plenty of predators. There are dragonfly larvae and diving beetles and mayfly larvae and all sorts of predators that just are looking for a vulnerable little mosquito hanging upside down on the meniscus to eat. So they get out-feeded very quickly. They are around, maybe, even if they ever appear, but if they do appear, they're around for maybe a couple of days and then they're gone.
Okay, interesting. I have to say, when you started introducing the eco pool and your first project, it's exactly where we are. I have threatened, let's close the pool up and make parking. And my wife has said, no, not a chance. And we were both very excited when we uncovered eco pools.
Well, let me tell you that in the Western Cape, you know, we're suffering from this terrible drought.
Yes.
And one of the exciting things that you can use your pool for is a water store, you know.
Oh.
So you know, you can let the water from your roof drain directly into the pool.
Yeah.
And we have developed a technology called Eco Islands, which is based on the papyrus beds in the Okavango swamps.
Okay.
They float on the pool surface, and they're tied to the edges, so that they can float up and down with the level of the water.
Yeah.
And so they purify the water. The roof water can flow into your pool. The water is circulated through the ether island. And then you can pump that water back up and use it in your home. You know, it's drinkable.
So it's totally potable.
Oh, yeah. So instead of closing your pool up in a drought, actually what you should be doing is converting it into a natural system.
Very
that you can actually drink that water rather than that disgusting chlorinated poison. Otherwise, you can't drink your pool water. What do you do with it?
No, I understand. But I think there will be a proportion issue. I think when it... our pool is very small. It's more a splash pool than anything else. So the water collecting on the roof and flowing into that will fill it chop, and then it will just overflow over. Okay, but I understand what you're saying. Is this also part of your wastewater treatment system?
It can be. You know, if you don't use the water for drinking in the house,
yes,
then you can take all your grey water, put it through our treatment system, our wastewater treatment system, which is based on very similar principles to the pool filtration.
Yeah.
By the time it leaves that system, it is no longer grey, and it no longer smells, and it is, you know, perfect to use.
Wow.
And you can use your pool as a store, so the whole system can be circular. You know, you can reduce your consumption from the grid enormously with that system.
Yeah, this certainly sounds interesting. And I just had another thought, seeing as the pool is small, we could always pump water out of the pool and store it somewhere else.
Yes, absolutely you can. But I mean, if your pool is very small, I mean, I would use the process to go grey water and pump directly to a tank. You know, and use the roof water just for the pool.
I understand. Oh, I understand. Okay. Well, thank you so far. Now, the other question that I'm curious about, and it sounds as if I don't have to ask the question, seeing as how we've discussed it so far. Mm-hmm. So this sounds that a conventional pool, or in our case a rock pool, could be easily converted into an eco pool?
Yeah. It's never as easy as building a new pool.
Yeah,
because the conversion you always have to compromise around. But yes, absolutely. You know, about half our business is conversions, and we've developed over the years so many different ways of doing it.
Yeah,
that you know, however the budget allows and however the aesthetic allows, it's a relatively simple thing.
I understand, Jerome. But now, do you service the whole of South Africa or just a particular area?
We have offices in Cape Town, and we have offices in Johannesburg. Our Johannesburg office, you know, services the whole of Gauteng, up to Hoed Street, Limpopo, and Mpumalanga. And we also have a what we call a guided construction, where we sell the design, including the drawing. To people who are just too far away to make, financial sense.
Okay, like a do-it-yourself.
That's it. And we sell them the pumps and the liners if they need it, and the plants and whatever they need, we can get it all up to them and they build it themselves using our design.
Very interesting. We'll definitely have to invite you back for more information. Sure. So far it sounds very, very interesting, Jerome. Is there anything else that we're drawing to a close now very shortly? Is there anything else that you want to share further that we might have missed so far?
Phew, you know, if you do something every day, there's so much to talk about.
Yes. Okay.
But so, I think just to focus people's idea about what it is that they're doing when they're installing an ecosystem.
Yeah.
And I think far and away the biggest benefit of having an eco pool is the quality of the swim. You know, when you get into living water, it makes it changes the way you feel in a way that you can't compare to anything else. So that I think is the ultimate reward. And as well, I think, you know, the allied to that is the aesthetic value of having something beautiful and natural, as opposed to something that's dead and rather plain.
Yeah.
And the value of that is 12 months a year. You know, a swimming pool, what you're using it a couple of months a year, and the rest of the time it's something that you have to service this ugly blue hole.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's an eco pool, it's a water feature that's fascinating. Every day you're getting value out of it, you know, and it's increasing the predator count in your garden. You know, you'll have less mosquitoes, actually, if you've got an eco pool. There's lots of frogs and bats that come out of it. And so it makes a quality difference which cannot be really quantified. Besides all the practical benefits that we've been talking about.
Yeah, certainly sounds interesting. What I didn't ask, we're gonna give your website in a moment so people can contact you via the website and therefore ask for a quote and so on. But can we just for a moment stop and look at costs? Is this something, okay, so we've touched on all the benefits, but it sounds like our pool conversion will cost R1 million from all the benefits we're going to get, but I suppose it's a practical thing. But can you give us more or less, just not saying a price or anything, but how does it compare? What sort of price range are we looking at for a conversion of an average pool or a small pool, etc.? Just to give our listeners an idea.
Well, I'd say that you could, you know, using Eco Islands to the pool, you can probably on an average size pool, you know, it would cost about 50,000 to start.
Okay. Sorry,
on
I didn't.
Average size pool.
Just say
on
that.
A smaller pool, sorry,
I didn't catch that amount. Just say it again.
About 50,000.
I see. Okay.
Yes, for an average size pool. You know, for a smaller pool, it'll be a bit less. For a bigger pool, it'll be a bit more. And then it ranges up. You know, if you want waterfalls and rock features and beautiful lily pads and all sorts of things, you know, then it can cost much more.
Yes, yes.
You know, we've done very fancy installations of you know, 1.5 million. That's obviously not for everyone.
Yeah, I certainly saw some very interesting pools on your website, which I can see and fully understand it'll be pricey.
Yes.
Okay, so if there's nothing else, I'm going to close up. Anything else, last call?
I just wanted to describe our wastewater treatment system a little bit.
Okay, please do.
Yes, because it's so pertinent in the Western Cape at the moment.
Yeah.
And, you know, about 30% of our water usage is flushing the toilet, and so to use drinking water for that is crazy. The problem with conventional grey water systems is that you have to use the water immediately. You can't store it.
Yes.
It goes off.
Correct.
And so what our system does is that it processes the water to the point where it can be stored, and it doesn't smell. And you can put it back into your toilet again, and it can just sit there forever.
I understand.
And it's a wetland-based system, but as opposed to most constructed wetlands, it cannot block. That's the whole key of our technology, is that it's impossible for the system to block. And that's the big problem with greywater wetlands, is that eventually the microbial population gets thick, and it blocks.
Okay.
And so that's the real benefit, and I'm telling you, it should be law, man. You shouldn't be able to flush your toilet with drinking.
Certainly, yeah, I understand, yeah. So just on that note, Radio Live Green Smart started as a result of us building a green home.
Uh-huh.
And we basically catch the rainwater, and we use that for the washing machine, the toilets, and for garden irrigation. So I understand what you're meaning.
Mm.
Okay. Anything else, Jerome?
Just the website details, and if you ever want to do this again, I'm always available.
Okay, please give our listeners your website address.
Should I do it now?
Yes, please.
Yeah, so it's ecopoolsonline.com.
Thank you. And all the contact details are there, so we don't have to give out contact details now?
No. EcoPoolsOnline.com got a contact page on it.
Okay. Right, listeners, so that was Dr. Jerome Davies, the founder of EcoPools. Thank you very much for all your interesting information.
It's a pleasure.
Okay. I'll just repeat the website. It's ecopoolsonline.com. And then further, please note, where we interview or run adverts, the content is not necessarily endorsed by Radio Live Green Smart. I'm Emmanuel, your host. And over to the music. Bye-bye, Jerome.
Thank you. Thanks very much, Emmanuel.
Righto. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.